So there's a no sleuth recording happening. So a warm welcome to everybody. Yeah, really nice to see you all. And tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about doing loving kindness for people. It's not so easy to do loving kindness for. Sometimes we might call these the difficult people. And there's this general practice that we might do for everybody, not only the difficult person, but it might be particularly helpful for a difficult person. And I'm using this kind of like generic word, difficult person. And of course, recognizing there's a giant range there. There might be people that sometimes annoy us a little bit, or just somebody that we just can't stand to be with, or, you know, maybe we even have some hatred or ill will towards or something like this. So my recommendation is when we're talking about this is to...
Yes, I do.
You know what? I'm going to mute us all because I can hear somebody in the background. Just for your future selves, when you hear the recording, you'll be happy that it's a little bit cleaner there. So when we talk about the difficult person, the invitation is not to jump right in with the most difficult. This absolutely is a practice. And often if we are starting with the most difficult, then we can just slide right into overwhelm, or it's what's actually most often and not uncommon is to slide right in and, yeah, I can't believe that person did that or did this or, you know, something like that. We just can't quite let go of whatever it is that we find difficult about this person. And that's not really what we're trying to cultivate here, trying to cultivate something a little bit different, right? So often, maybe I'll say this for the most difficult, it's really helpful to spend time doing loving kindness practice where it's a little bit easier. I love to do this, right? I always start where it's easy. And then maybe even stay there a little bit longer than you want to. And then it just, this sense of loving kindness just gets built up inside. And then it just kind of leaks out, can't help it, and flows out to others. And then when you're in a state like that, then with the most difficult people, then it's much easier to have a different relationship with them or have a different type of practice rather than falling into kind of rehearsing all the reasons why we don't like this person or something like that. So that's my recommendation. I know lots of people like to do loving kindness practice for the most difficult people in a hope that it will shift their relationship and modify it or make things easier. And maybe it does. Maybe it will. But maybe it won't too. Maybe instead you'll just find yourself kind of getting a little bit stuck and maybe even like the inner critic arises, like I'm supposed to be practicing loving kindness. Why can't I do it for this person or something like this? And again, that's not what we're looking for here or what we're wanting to cultivate. So one thing that is helpful to do, not only for difficult people, but for everybody or anybody, or as a preliminary practice before doing loving kindness, or maybe as a practice to do when you're not formally on a meditation cushion, but more in daily life, is to intentionally look for the good in people. And the idea is not to delude ourselves into thinking, oh, there's no problem. The idea is not to encourage us to withdraw into conflict avoidance. The idea is to counterbalance what is a human habit or tendency is to kind of rehash or ruminate or just think about it over and over and over, like how we dislike this person or how we've been wronged or how they shouldn't have done this or done that or something like this. And then there's this kind of this fixedness that can happen, that we only see this person in this one particular way. And then that's kind of like get a little bit stuck. And so part of the practice is, if we can we broaden our understanding of this person? They may still be a difficult person. And maybe our relationship doesn't change necessarily, but to have a little bit more flexibility in how we consider them, how we think about them. Yes, they are a difficult person, but they always clean up after themselves in the break room, for example, if this is somebody you work with. Or yes, they're a difficult person, but they never take the parking spot that's closest to the door at work or the grocery store. Or yes, they're a difficult person, but they always seem to practice good hygiene and good grooming. They don't smell bad. Or I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to like extemporaneously think about some of these things, but I'm sure that you guys will be able to come up with something other than just going over and over again all their thoughts. So there might be the case in which finding one good attribute in somebody is not going to happen. For whatever reason, because of our hurt, because of our history, this person, we're just not there yet. That we, for whatever reason it might be. So what is something that we might do? And this something that might be a little bit more realistic is to do a different reflection. And that is to consider everyone wants to be happy. And we don't know everybody's histories necessarily, and maybe unskillful, unwholesome, but in their own ways, they're trying to be happy. And everybody wants to feel a sense of belonging. Even with people that are curmudgeons and pushing others away, there's part of the human experience where we want to feel a sense of belonging. So we might use some reflections either in our meditation practice or just in daily life to consider that just like me, all of us, this person has suffered in their life. And just like me, they've made mistakes and have regrets. And just like me, they want to be happy. And again, part of the reason why we're doing this is to help kind of make this person a little bit more human, fleshed out, or our consideration of them sometimes can get kind of flattened for those people that we dislike, and we just focus on that part that we don't like, but to bring a little bit more of their humanity in, kind of the broadness of who they are. And you know, even if we have difficulties with them, they might be a parent, and there might have been a time when their kids just loved them dearly, and you know that they were loving towards their kids or towards their spouse or their parents. Or we can imagine this for people even if we don't know. So that's a little bit of an introduction of how to work with do some loving kindness for those for whom it's not so easy. I use this word kind of like this fixedness we might have, like, oh, they are only this way. So can we look for some good in them? And if that doesn't feel like we can do it, then just to consider that, just like me, they've suffered, they have regrets, they want to be happy. Okay. So well, that is an introduction. I'll do a little bit of practice here. We'll start with just checking in with the body in a global sense. At this moment, what does it feel like to have a body? Is there a general mood? Feel tired, restless? Feel happy? I'm not sure. Whatever it might be. Maybe checking in with the posture. Is there some uprightness and some softness? Some ease as well as absence of like laxity, or I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, expressing our intention to meditate right now. Again, feeling connected to whatever it is we're sitting on. Feeling the pressure against the body. And feeling the body breathing. Feeling the beginning, the middle, the end of an in-breath. In the beginning, middle, and end of an out-breath. When the mind wanders, just very gently, simply begin again. Can we bring some ease and relaxation to the attitude, the tone that we're bringing to our loving kindness practice? And then to begin the formal loving kindness practice, we'll start with a lovable being, starting where it's easy. This might be kittens, puppies, babies that you imagine, or maybe that you know. Might be somebody that you have an uncomplicated, warm relationship. Might be somebody that you know about. Don't really know personally, but your heart sings when you think about them. Can you connect with this lovable being? Sometimes I imagine that my chest, the heart center is like, I don't know how to explain it, maybe like beaming some connection with the lovable being. Some people visualize the lovable being. But create a connection that feels natural, so not straining to visualize if that's really difficult for you, not the way that your mind prefers to work. Not trying to connect with the sense of the heart center if the mind and the heart don't work that way readily. Whatever is easy and natural for you. And then to support our connection and our wish to cultivate loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Really allowing yourself to feel this warm-heartedness, care, love, respect, kindness, whichever word feels like the right word. Is there a way in which you might be nourished or supported by these warm feelings for this lovable being? Could check in with the body and see if there's a feeling of ease or spaciousness. Maybe there's some warm feeling in the heart center, in the chest. Maybe not. There's no requirement, and it's perfectly fine if it's not there. But if there is, can you allow that to also be a support? Maybe there's some warm-heartedness that flows from that or grows out of. And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. If you'd like, you can stay with the lovable being, or the invitation is to extend it to include ourselves in the same way. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Some people like to visualize how they were as a child. Maybe there's a photograph or a memory. There's happiness and ease, some well-being. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then can we expand our loving kindness to include a difficult person, not the most difficult. Maybe bringing to mind somebody with whom Maybe our relationship isn't smooth. Can you think about a good quality or a good aspect this individual has? Maybe they keep their lawn nicely, and the neighbors appreciate it. Maybe they return the shopping carts to the store rather than just leaving them in the parking lot. These are silly examples. Maybe you have your own. But if it feels also too contrived and that's something that's really accessible right now, you can just reflect that. Just like me, this person has had difficulties in their lives. Just like me, this person has made mistakes and has regrets. And just like me, this person wishes to be happy. So can we extend them some loving kindness? I'll be offering the phrases I've been using for the lovable being in the self, but maybe you feel like you'd like to modify them. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And if we feel like the well is getting a little dry, in some ways that might be fine. Doesn't mean that it has to be rich and juicy, so to speak, all the time. Or maybe we can dip back into with a lovable being. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground and the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. The little talk that I gave today, what I wanted to point to is sometimes it's easy just to fall into the usual way that we think about people. And sometimes we can get stuck in a way that doesn't allow us to move forward or doesn't allow our heart to remain open as best it can or something like this. So we might reflect if there's something positive about a person. And if that just seems unrealistic and isn't going to happen, it's not available for us, then we might consider that they've suffered just like we have, and they've made mistakes and have regrets just like we have, and they want to be happy just like we do. So these ideas of having different reflections or having different considerations maybe of some of the difficult people in our life, it can be helpful to talk about this with others. Did you find this helpful? Was it really a struggle, or, you know, just wasn't available at this time? Found yourself kind of falling into the usual ways of thinking about them. It's all okay, right? We're not here to try to be perfect, and we're not trying to be somebody that we're not. This is just a practice. Yeah, thank you, Nancy. This is just a tool or an approach that might help us. It doesn't mean that it's going to, you know, immediately transform our experience. Like, how could it? How could it? So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you can talk about this and how this was for you. And there'll be 3 or 4 of you in a room. Here we go. So let's see. I have 2. Yep. People are... Let's see if I can make it so nobody's in a room by themselves. We kind of want to avoid that. Okay, there we go. Okay, so you'll have about 11 minutes. And if you find it helpful, you can go in numerical order according to the last digit of your phone number. So if that's helpful. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to say? Yes, Trudy. Can you unmute yourself, please, Trudy?
I mentioned in the group that when it came to focusing on a positive quality of the difficult person, I had I had a hard time doing that because it seems like when I enjoy something positive about the person, it immediately or soon flips to the other side. And so I don't trust it. And so I don't know. I'd like to see if you have any comments on that.
Can you say a little bit more about flips to the other side?
The person is being really loving to me. And then maybe an hour later, a day later, they're telling me, oh, they don't want to be around me because it's miserable.
Oh, so their behavior flips from one to the other.
Yeah.
I see. So if it feels like too complicated and it's not really easy to find a positive attribute, something about them, maybe it's helpful just to think, just like me, this person has regrets, this person has suffered. What we want to do is try not to flatten them. You know, sometimes we just kind of, and if you feel like that's not what's happening.
No.
Yeah, then.
Yeah, I felt compassion. I felt sadness for the struggle that's going on.
That's beautiful, Trudy. That's beautiful. To have kind of like maybe compassion, if you can see some of their suffering.
Yeah.
I think the loving kindness, we don't have to force it. And just because we're doing this practice doesn't mean we're going to feel loving kindness for this person. It's definitely a practice. And sometimes a difficult person, you know, maybe we only can do that when we have been on retreat, when we've been like really just swimming in loving kindness nonstop for days.
For 2 weeks on a retreat.
Yeah, but write a loving kindness retreat where you do nothing but loving kindness.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're 1 minute after the hour here. So thank you all. Thank you all for your practice. It's a beautiful thing that we're doing together. Yeah. Maybe we can unmute and say goodbye. So, bye-bye. Bye. And thank you.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dad.